I'm gonna take a chance here and be totally transparent with you about something I've never really spoken about, so please be nice. But honestly, I spent a lot of my Christian life being very uncomfortable with Jesus. God, I got. He's incredible, Lord of everything. I loved the thought of calling him Abba, Father, and that part I could connect with. But when it came to Jesus, I didn't know what to do with it. It's hard to explain why I had such an avoidance of that part of the Bible, which, you know, is arguably the basis of Christianity. And the crucifixion, oh my gosh, made me massively uncomfortable. I know, not something you would hear a Christian say, but chances are, if I've felt that, then someone else has too. So today, I want to tell you about what made me do a 180 turn in how I view Jesus, what changed all that discomfort into heartfelt adoration. So if you've ever felt uncomfortable with the Jesus part of our faith, or maybe you just don't really connect with him the same way you do with God or the same way you would hope to, then this episode is for you. And even if you already do accept and adore Jesus, it can never hurt to explore some more scripture and see what God has to say to you. So it's all coming up today on She Read It Herself. Hi. Hi. How are you? Oh my goodness, it has been insanity. Even just in the 2 minutes I've been trying to record this, my phone has rung twice and different text messages from the different schools. Basically, this is the last week of school for my kids. Well, for two of the three. In some just crazy coincidence of life, this happens to be a year where all three of my kids go to three different schools, elementary, middle, and high school, and they all have different end of the year celebrations and parties and things going on. And on top of that, we are closing on our house on Friday, which from when I'm recording this is in 2 days. In 2 days, y'all, my dream that I never thought would come true, but somehow I dared to ask God for, that we would own our own home and I could finally give that stability to my kids. It's happening. I mean, one step at a time. I'm walking through one door at a time, but after Friday, that door will be the door to our new home. And it's all blessings, you guys, all blessings, but what a roller coaster of emotions. And there have been so many days, most days, where I give my time with God first and I set myself up for the day and I have this unexplainable peace, you know, just this peace in that I'm doing the right thing and everything's going to be okay. And then I noticed I will have these other days, which actually happened this past week, where I'm fearful and anxious and worried I'm making a mistake. And I started to, you know, pray like, God, please draw close to me. Why am I not feeling connected to you? Where did that peace go? And when I sat down finally to do my daily Bible study and journal, I looked back. And the last date I had done my journal, my scripture time, was like it was like 4 or 5 days beforehand. So I'm sitting here wondering, God, why do I not feel connected to you? Where did you go? And I had this like duh light bulb moment of, he didn't go anywhere. I did. I stopped making this time where I connect with God through scripture and meditation and prayer. I stopped doing that, and then I wonder why I feel disconnected. Like, come on, Natasha. So, I mean, that could be a whole other episode, but I just wanted to mention it because, as usual, chances are if I somehow didn't connect those dots, maybe somebody else did too. So if you ever start feeling more anxiety, fear, worry than you usually do, check in to see, when was the last time you were drawing near to God? So that's my little side note. But today, let's talk about Jesus. Jesucristo, the big guy, I mean, the cornerstone of Christianity, is all about the Son of God coming to earth, dying for our sins. I mean, it's a massive part. And to this day, it's embarrassing. And if I'm being honest, I am nervous about admitting this, this period of my life where I really felt no connection to the Jesus part of my faith. But I just felt like I didn't know what to do with Jesus. I learned all the Bible verses. I knew the stories. I ended my prayers with, "In Jesus' name, amen." But deep down, I did not feel a personal connection to Jesus. In fact, I felt discomfort. Looking back, maybe part of it was me worrying that I would sound kooky to others if I talked about Jesus. You can get away with talking about God a lot more. I feel like people are kind of accepting of that. But when you start talking about Jesus publicly, you're putting yourself out there to get criticism, to get some odd looks. And maybe I just didn't want to deal with that. There was quite a while where I called myself not a Christian, but a quote unquote spiritual person. Maybe I also had an issue that if I believed in Jesus as the Son of God, as the only way to get to heaven, was I condemning all other religions, which again could be a whole nother episode, but is something I struggle with. But the one thing I can tell you with certainty is something changed, not just in my mind, but in my heart. And it changed when I started reading his words for myself. Going through the book of John has been the most amazing blessing in my life. I had no idea what I was missing out on by not reading the gospel for myself, by not reading Jesus's words for myself, reading about the disciples' interactions with him for myself. No wonder I felt a disconnect. And through reading his story from beginning to end, I actually fell in love. That is so cheesy to say, but it is truly like a deeply in love adoration that I feel now for Jesus. I wish I could meet him. I wish I could have been, you know, Mary Magdalene there close with him, following him. And when I got to these verses that we're going to get into today as we continue along with our journey through the book of John, well, I don't see how the old me could have ever reconciled my discomfort with Jesus with this clear-cut message of Jesus' relationship to God. You know, that same big guy in the sky that I had been praying to. I now know you cannot have one without the other. So let's get into exactly what the scripture has to say for today. It's going to be a short episode, but it's important, and I'm dying to know what you get out of these verses, if it's the same thing that maybe I do. So we're picking up in John 5, verses 17 through 30, and if you remember, this is right after the lame man gets healed at the pool. If you remember, we talked about how it is about our actions, not our thoughts, if we want to be healed. I love that episode so much. So after this happened, this healing, where we're picking up now, the Jewish leaders were all up in arms. I mean, the excitement was not over this incredible miracle that was just performed, this unexplainable healing. Nope. They were all mad because how dare he tell the man to take action on the Sabbath, telling him to pick up his mat. And unfortunately, they're about to get even madder, and that's where we're jumping back in. Verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father is still working, and I am also working.' For this reason, the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because he was not only breaking the Sabbath, but was also calling God his own Father, thereby making himself equal to God." So they're like, okay, let's add on another charge, blasphemy. Did this guy really just call himself the Son of God? And also, take note, at the end of verse 18, he was calling God his own father, therefore making himself equal to God. The same thing that the Jewish leaders are so mad about is something that really sticks out to me. How can I not honor Jesus and study Jesus the same way that I honor God if Jesus is equal to God? It's kind of hard to negotiate with that. Verse 19, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and he will show him greater works than these, so that you will be astonished. Indeed, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whoever he wishes. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Anyone who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." Last verse, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come under judgment, but has passed from death to life." So let's break these down. So we started off with Jesus calling God his own father, therefore making himself equal to God. I mean, he puts it right out there. And now as we keep reading, Jesus is getting into the how he got this power from God, and how we're able to see God through Jesus. One is a direct reflection of the other. Verse 19 really stuck out to me, the part that the Son can do nothing on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. Which, side note, can I just say the first initial thing that popped into my head when I read these verses was, oof, what a wake-up call. I need to bring back to the forefront of my mind that my kids are watching me as well. They're seeing how I handle all the stress in our life right now, all these major changes, and they're little sponges who, for better or worse, are constantly learning by the behavior that I model in front of them. I hope that continues to stay in the forefront of my brain, because man, do I need a reminder to treat this as a priority and not let it become something that I think of for a few days in practice and then I get so busy that I forget and I'm not watching myself and the example that I'm setting, again, for good or bad. But back to Jesus. In verse 22, it's clear that God has also given Jesus the power to judge. And sometimes when I read about God or Jesus, that they are the judge, it scares me off the bat. Like, ooh, am I going to be judged okay? Am I going to, you know, get a pass? But you know what gave me peace? When I look at the rest of John and the other Gospels, I hope you were also pleasantly surprised at how loving and accepting and merciful Jesus was. It's not a scary thing when you see that by example in his behavior and the lessons he wants us to learn, we shouldn't be afraid. Let me give you an example. Do you remember how patient Jesus was with Nicodemus? He didn't shame him that he didn't get the concept of being born again in spiritual terms and not literal ones. Jesus just kept explaining it over and over. Much like how he continues to do with me when I don't get it the first time, nor the second, sometimes the third. He's patient. Also, have you noticed? Gosh, this is why I get so excited about reading scripture for myself, because then I get to connect these dots and have these aha moments. But did you notice that Jesus never says no when someone comes to him in faith wanting to be healed? He doesn't say, meh, you've used up all your forgiveness, sorry, not sorry. No, he shows mercy and patience and kindness so much kindness. So when we read that Jesus is a mirror of what he sees in the Father, how much more comforting is that? The God of this universe is patient and kind and forgiving. You know, sometimes my shame wants me to forget that. It wants me to believe that I've disappointed God one too many times, kind of like how I was telling you about at the beginning, how I went like 5 days without doing my Bible study and reading my scripture, and then came and was questioning God like, hello, why am I not feeling your peace anymore? My shame wants me to think, okay, you can't even connect those dots. You screw that up. How are you going to teach others? How is God going to use you when you can't even keep up with your daily time with God? That's what my shame says. But this scripture teaches us to look at Jesus' example. Look at what he mirrors of the Father. It is not a one and done, sorry, not sorry. When we read the text for ourselves, we see that the opposite could not be truer. He is a God of redemption, not condemnation. So yeah, I pretty much had to reframe my entire perspective on Jesus. Instead of being, you know, the guy with the beard and the robe and the horrific death, what he actually is an incarnation of God in human flesh who speaks in a way that teaches me the heart and mind of God. If Jesus is speaking of and modeling so much love, kindness, and forgiveness, then that means we're also learning this about the character of God the Father. So, in the end, what did we learn today, class? Well, remember, after we get done with our scripture, if you go back and you listen to episode 1 where we break down how to read scripture when maybe you're a girl who has sucked at reading your Bible before, found it boring, unrelatable, there's ways that we can do that and get so much out of it. And one of the things I like to do at the end is break down, okay, from these verses, what did I learn about the characteristics of God? And in these in particular, we learn of God by Jesus. Jesus isn't only the Son of God, but a reflection of God. We also read in black and white that Jesus has authority as the Son of God. In verse 21, it shows us he gives life to whomever he chooses. That includes me and you. He is a generous God. Again, a God of redemption, of mercy. Verse 23, we learn that he deserves to be honored and obeyed, so that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. By honoring Jesus, I'm honoring God. So to kind of tone down the Jesus part, I was not really honoring God. Can't have one without the other. And just like a side note, I've had like 10 side notes already this episode, but that is why now, it didn't used to bother me, but now I cannot stand it when people use Jesus Christ in slang, especially in a slang word of being like, oh my gosh, you know, and they just use his name. It truly like get little stabs in the heart when I hear that. But I guess that's a good thing because it means that name means something to me now. And the last characteristic of God that we learned about in verse 24. That yes, he is the ultimate judge, but he also gives the greatest gift of eternal life, an eternal connection to God the Father. And you know, the second thing that I like to do when I wrap up my Bible study, I look at what does this teach me about the characteristics of God, and then how can I obey? And that's how we're going to close today. And that is a very personal question that only you can answer. But I will tell you that for me, and again, a reminder, she read it herself is about you reading it for yourself and seeing what God says to you. But for me, to obey is to give Jesus the respect he deserves. And with that respect comes a respect for Jesus' words. I can obey by actually listening to them and trying to really understand them. Sometimes it takes a little effort, I'm not going to lie, to break down or figure out what a handful of verses are trying to say. But if we're really going to honor Jesus, isn't it worth a try? Even more so now, because after reading these scriptures, one thing we learned is that Jesus' words and his example and his actions are a direct reflection of the Father. They are anointed. So I need to listen to them. And really, that's how we seek. You know, seek and ye shall find. It's true. Reading these Bible verses is how we connect with God. It's how we get peace, no matter what the situation is. When we show up and crack open this big book. Okay, I promised you a quick episode, so that is where I'm going to leave it. Thank you guys for being so patient with me these last couple of weeks. She Read It Herself is a bi-weekly podcast, but it is also just me, a one-woman show. So thank you for your patience that these last couple weeks it's only been one episode. I can't wait to get back on a regular schedule and do this twice a week with you guys. As usual, if you like what you hear, please click on that follow subscribe button so you get these episodes whenever they happen to come out. And also, if you wouldn't mind, a great way to keep these episodes ad-free is to please leave a review and tell a friend. If we can spread this word, we can grow this community of women into something really powerful. So please leave a review, tell a friend, all that good stuff. Okay, I think that's it. Oh, and as always, I tell you guys this all the time, but if you want to talk to me, please just reach out to me on Instagram at Ms. MS Pink Monster. Okay, that is officially it. Have a great day, you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye, my friend.